Our first scripture lesson today are familiar words from the Gospel of good Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. As always, when we read familiar verses, we encourage you to listen with new ears, that you might truly be filled with God's word to you in this reading of scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Is a continuation of the first. We will continue this story from the first chapter of Luke, picking up at verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. My soul magnifies the Lord.
You know, to magnify something is to make it larger, to make it bigger than it appears. It is to make it easier to see. Another way to magnify something is perhaps to make it louder. And still another way to magnify something is to give it intensity. Sort of the way a magnifying glass does with words on a page. Or a magnifying glass if you capture the sun in it and focus it long enough on a piece of paper, it will set it afire. This word magnify and magnification holds a great deal of meaning and depth, especially in this story. When Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Years ago, I learned a way of reading Scripture that I have shared with many of you that dramatically changed how I understand and experience God and how I see the world around me. What I learned is to do a personalized reading of Scripture. And it's as simple as making the nouns and pronouns of whatever I read in Scripture first person, singular nouns and pronouns, and inserting my own name, or I, or my, into the reading. And if they are already mostly written this way, as in our two readings today, it's simply a matter of owning the language. Now, this may sound a little arrogant at first, to presume that the Bible is about me and about you, and to put oneself in the place of God or Jesus sounds outright blasphemous in many ways. However, if we can get past these barriers, the words no longer belong to someone else. They don't belong to someone else in another time, in another place, but they speak to us personally, in our time, in our situation, right here and right now. And using this method of personalization with our reading this morning, let's listen again just to the first part of a portion. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. God has sent me. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant." Could this be true? Could the Spirit of God be upon you and me? Could our lives be magnifiers of God? If we dare to answer these questions, yes, then we find ourselves on a path to realizing and experiencing what I consider to be the true mysterious message of Christmas, which is captured in two biblical and theological concepts: Emmanuel, God with us, and incarnation, God in us. The miracle of this story of Mary is not about biology and human reproduction. The miracle of this story of Mary is about God in us and with us. But we must also be reminded, as Luke reminds us in this quotation of an Old Testament text, that for God to be magnified in our lives is much different than what we may imagine. It says God amplified, magnified in our lives, scatters the proud in the thoughts of our hearts, brings down the powerful from our thrones and lifts up the lowly, fills us, the hungry, with good things and sends the rich away empty. Now, on the surface, this may look like a to-do list. We Presbyterians, we modern to-do, get-things-done people love to-do lists. And this may sound like a to-do list for achieving the presence of God in our lives by going out and correcting all the wrongs in the world. But the deeper message is an invitation into a different reality that becomes clearer and clearer the more we open ourselves to God's presence already with us and already in us. But then again, that begs the question, what about the wrong that we see in the world? We can't simply pretend it doesn't exist. Of course not. And this is precisely the point. If we truly understand and experience ourselves and others as incarnations of God's presence, we will treat one another differently. We will practice kindness and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and generosity and goodness and peace and love. We will live the hope and peace and love and joy of Advent. And Christmas will be born in our lives. This is the overwhelming message of the prophets of our Scripture. And I include Elizabeth and Mary as prophets. Jesus comes teaching and proclaiming this to us. The Spirit of God is with you, with me, in us. Several years ago, before a Lessons and Carols service, I asked the readers of the scriptures in that service, did they have any questions? And the woman who was reading the lesson of the Annunciation said, "I'm ready to enunciate the Annunciation." Well, she was closer to the truth with that quip than I think she realized. Because the story of the Annunciation that we read this morning, as told in the Gospel of Luke, is a clear enunciation of the purpose and message of Christmas, of the gospel. I don't think there is a better capsulization of the entire gospel story than we will find in what we know as the Magnificat, and in this story that surrounds it, this strange story of two women, one elderly and barren and the other young and innocent. an angel visits them both and tells them they're pregnant, and the babies they grow and carry in their wombs will be filled with promises. Promises of God's presence, hope, peace, love, and joy for all people. Now, there's a theological word for this. I'm sure you probably figured that there would be. This word is theotokos. Theotokos literally means one who gives birth to one who is God. And traditionally, we've used this as the name of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Theotokos. We Presbyterians aren't familiar with this as our Catholic friends are. But it is an important concept for us to grasp. This idea of one who gives birth to one who is God. And if we imagine ourselves in this story, if we imagine ourselves as part of this annunciation, as we imagine ourselves as one who gives birth to one who is God, it brings an entirely new dimension to the story. What if these stories are meant to be our stories, not the story of Elizabeth and Mary? Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa once in an interview said he has always encouraged people to be God bearers in the world. And this is exactly what he was talking about. Acknowledging our inherent image of God in our lives. Acknowledging the theotokos of our own lives. And Mary comes to us in this famous proclamation, the Magnificat, reminding us that in birthing and bearing the presence of Christ, our world is turned upside down. It is a place where the proud are scattered, the powerful brought down, the lowly lifted up, the hungry filled, and the rich sent away empty. It is unmistakably clear that allowing and letting God be in our lives in this way is fraught with anxieties, with doubts and vulnerability of human stories, just like the human stories of our scripture are filled with all of these things. Abraham, David, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Jesus. The gospel is enunciated in stories of life and death. Real stories, life and death so real and so common that they are shared by all people of all times until it comes our time to speak. It becomes our time to speak clearly in our lives with sharp diction and pure tones, those same promises of presence, hope, peace, love and joy for all people. And Christmas reminds us, reminds all of us, that each and every moment is our turn to say along with Mary, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." My soul magnifies the Lord. Amen. Something happened about 5 years ago that has become part of the reading of the Magnificat for me. And you won't be surprised that it brings me around to baseball. Because you see, I was in the Washington Nationals gift shop about 5 years ago, buying a few souvenirs to take to my young grandson that I had never met. And as I bought a few of those souvenirs, I looked up. It was a Tuesday morning. There were only four or five people in the entire gift shop. I looked up, and standing over at the checkout counter was Bryce Harper. Now, those of you who aren't baseball fans, that may not mean anything, but if you are a baseball fan, you know who Bryce Harper is. And at that time, he was in the middle of a season with the Washington Nationals where he would eventually be the most valuable player in the National League that year. But this young man was standing there checking out, and We approached him, and he was just nice as he could be and amiable, and we all had our things, and we asked him to sign them, and he was gracious and glad to do this. Well, later on, I looked at the little baseball bat that he had signed for me, and he had put his name on it, and he had written under his name, Luke 1:37. I was surprised to see that he had put a scripture quotation under his signature. But I knew exactly where that quotation was. I didn't know exactly what it said at that time, but I knew it was in this story of the first chapter of Luke. So I quickly look it up. And it's that short verse that says, "For with God all things are possible." All things are possible with God. And that brings us to these three words of Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. Incarnation, God is in us. Theotokos, we are bearers of God. And this is where all things are possible. When we come to the realization that this is the Christmas story, we are the presence of God in the world, each and every one of us bearing a piece of the divine to share with others. Let us go into the remainder of this Advent season and into the celebration of Christmas, holding on to this promise that all things are possible with God. God with us, God in us, and God through us. Amen.